As of midnight this coming Friday, it will officially be the end of 2020. And I don't know of anyone who will be sad to see 2020 end. I know probably everyone in the world is going to be hoping for a better 2021 so that we can maybe get past the COVID crisis and kind of get maybe perhaps return to a little bit of normalcy in our lives. And I know everybody's going to be looking forward to that, and we can pray and ask God that that will happen. But because of the new year, as has been our kind of our tradition over the last couple of years of looking at resolutions, I thought I'd take a look, little bit of a different look at it this morning instead of looking at it as we have, kind of looking at it from a different perspective, kind of like we did last Sunday with regard to singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, kind of one particular aspect of our worship. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 51, Luke tells us, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Talking about Jesus. Now, obviously, it didn't happen immediately. There's still some more events that Luke records regarding what all takes place prior to him being received up. But it's the understanding that Jesus set his mind, he set his determination, knowing what was to come. And so it says he set his face, or steadfastly set his face, to go to Jerusalem. This term steadfastly set, it's just one term in the New Testament. It's sterizo. And it literally means to turn resolutely or to set fast. In fact, in our Bibles, at least in the King James, it's mainly translated to establish or strengthen. And it's translated here steadfastly set. But it shows the determination of Jesus and his resolve to, knowing what was to come, to make sure that everything came about according to the plan of God and to fulfill the plan that God had established, that the Father had established for him, to be able to provide for us the means of everlasting life. And I want to take a look at this from the perspective of, yeah, we talk about New Year's resolutions, we talk about being resolved, but looking at it from the perspective of this phrase, steadfastly setting his face toward Jerusalem. I'm going to look at the idea of steadfastly setting our face, or as it's as the definition, to resolutely turn, or turn resolutely, to some aspects or characteristics or whatever, however you want to phrase it, with regard to our lives as Christians. And these are things, as we talk about every year, no matter what resolutions we set as Christians, these resolutions should never stop being resolutions. Not only should they be resolved to be worked on every year, but these are things that we should be working on every day, every year, no matter which year it is or what's on our list of our resolutions. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, we understand that as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And of course, the King James has here, "Study to show yourself approved." And of course, the only way to show ourselves approved, and of course, in the idea that Paul's conveying here, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Of course, the only type of workman that should be ashamed is one that isn't working and one that isn't rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way we're going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth is if we spend time in God's word. And that is, and obviously, no matter what time of year it is or what year it is, this is something we should always be doing. But especially given our other resolutions or our other goals, spending time in God's word is going to establish the foundation for us to be able to do everything else. And it's not enough to just read. And we've talked about this in years past. It's not enough just to read God's word. We have to study God's word. The term study means to research or a detailed examination and analysis of a subject. And we can read all we want to. We can, and a lot of us do, I mean, it's a good thing to have. We can have a plan to read through the Bible in a year. And those are great, great things to have. Sometimes, depending on which one you have, sometimes you start in the Old Testament and go all the way through the Bible. Sometimes you start and you combine Old Testament and New Testament. Sometimes it's prophecies. There's different plans out there. And it's great to have those, to be able to read through the entire Bible, to have that as a goal. That's great. But just as important as reading it, and I would even suggest that it's perhaps even more important than reading it, is actually understanding what we're reading. You know, it doesn't do us a bit of good if we can memorize an entire, say, the Philemon. It's a short letter. Okay, let's say you can memorize the entire letter of Philemon, but if you don't grasp what's being taught or the applications that are provided there in Philemon, it's not going to do us any good to simply say, well, I read it. And the same is true for any book of the Bible or any part of Scripture. It's important for us to grasp what God is wanting us to understand. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verses 13 and 14, the Hebrew writer reminds the saints of their need to continue to grow. In fact, he laments and even kind of shames the Hebrews that they haven't grown more. And he says in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food." Notice it's almost as if they've kind of backslid a little bit. Okay, you've come to need milk and not solid food, as if, okay, when you first start out, you need milk, then you go on, you kind of graduate to solid food. Well, now they've gone back to needing milk again. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. They have not grown as they should. And in this case, it's kind of that adage, if you're not growing, you're losing ground. Okay? If you're not gaining ground, you're losing ground. If you're not growing, you're losing. Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Well, what did Paul tell Timothy? To rightly divide the word of truth. The only way to do that is if we're skilled in the word. "But solid food," verse 14, "belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We have to exercise our senses, and the only way we can discern good and evil is by applying God's standard of good and evil. Understanding how it applies, not only in our individual lives, but how we worship, how the church is to function. Every aspect of our spiritual service to God, both individually and as a congregation, needs to be based in what God has said and His standard of right and wrong, His standard of authority. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12, Peter, he reminds the saints, in fact, that's kind of the focus of 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, really. We've looked at this before. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12, as Peter makes he describes the fact that one day he's not going to be around. But he says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." It's not enough just to have learned it once, and that's good. Okay, I've learned it. I've heard the sermon on this. I've heard the sermon on that. I can kind of check out because I don't need to hear it again. I can't think of a single topic in Scripture that you can hear too much. Obviously, we need to have the full counsel of God associated with that, not just one part of it. But there's no such thing as hearing too much on one topic or another topic of God's Word. Being reminded of what God's Word says and how it applies is vital. And this is what Peter's describing to them, verse 13. "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." And then he goes on to say, verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." And then in chapter 3, what does he say? He says, "I've written both of these epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, by way of reminding you." All of this to say that the things that Peter's revealing to these saints, these aren't new concepts. These aren't new teachings that Peter's given to the saints. He's reminding them and emphasizing to them the need for it. For instance, in this case, verses 5 on through verse 9 and 10, the need to grow, the need to become a complete Christian. And that's why it's so important for Peter to emphasize to the saints, don't forget. Spend time in God's Word. This is part of the reason why, for instance, the Psalm of David in Psalm 1, starting in verse 1, David says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But rather what? What's the counter to this? Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but the counsel of whom? The counsel of God. And that's why the one who seeks to serve God and to please God meditates and delights in the law of the Lord. It's not possible to read or study too much. And it's important for us to make sure we spend time in God's Word. And by doing so, especially as we consider this past year and everything that everybody has been through, both personally and as a country and as a world, as a human race, it's important for us to be able to maintain our perspective on what God wants from us. And from this angle of it, we're going to look at the idea of focusing on the fundamentals. Now, there's such a thing as getting so wrapped up in things that we forget, we miss the trees because of the forest, so to speak. A lot of times, offensive and defensive coordinators and football teams, a lot of times they'll say that they're gonna scale back their playbook or they're gonna simplify their playbook. Why? Because what ends up happening sometimes is you can get so bogged down in details, sometimes you forget the fundamentals, basics. And a lot of times that happens with football teams where they have to go back to fundamentals. They have to rep things that should have been established back in high school. Well, just as in the case of going back to God's Word, spending time in God's Word, that will help us to remind us of what the fundamentals are. And of course, we could talk a lot about the fundamentals of being a Christian. But for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 28, look at it from the angle of being honest with ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 28, while Paul is describing to the saints the fact that they need to be aware of what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be. It's not meant to be this feast. And while some are taking it different times, some aren't taking it with the proper heart. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 28, Paul focuses on another aspect. In fact, he emphasizes this as being a reason why some of the Corinthians are actually in sin. He says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." See, there's the key. The key of the Lord's Supper, in addition to the actual act of taking the bread and the fruit of the vine, is discerning the Lord's body. That's the point. But notice he says in verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Some of you are dead spiritually. Because of this, the Lord's Supper, you're not taking it with the right heart, with the right mind, with the right understanding. So Paul emphasizes, he says, let a man examine himself. Each one of us has to examine ourselves to make sure we have the right heart, the right mind when we partake of the Lord's Supper, making sure we're doing it with the right motivation and the right state before God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, as Paul nears the end of this second letter to the Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, he encourages the saints to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. He says, examine yourselves. Well, what does that imply? It implies that I have a standard by which I can compare myself to. Well, that standard is God's Word. And obviously, in addition to, from the perspective of the Lord's Supper, and examining ourselves to make sure we're partaking in the right manner, that's but one aspect of the broader concept of whether or not we are in the faith. So looking at our character, sitting down and being honest with ourselves, putting together a list of maybe areas that we know and admit we need to work on. Aspects of our character, maybe it's aspects of our conduct, things that we say or don't say, things that we need to focus on. This shouldn't just happen on December 31st every year. It needs to happen every day to make sure we continue to be in the faith. Because these saints to whom Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians 13, they had been in the faith. And now Paul's encouraging them to test themselves to make sure you're still in the faith. Because you can fall away from the faith. And they need to maintain their status in God's word and in the fundamentals of understanding what it means to be a Christian. And so some aspects to this is making sure we consider areas that we can improve or areas that we can focus on, whether it's helping brethren, helping our neighbor, making sure we're showing love to one another. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe we're not as consistent in prayer as we should be and need to be. Prayer obviously has other elements to it as well, which include prayer should imply a trust in God, an acknowledgement that God is in control. And certainly if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that we have to rely on God because we can't rely on the normalcy of the world. Anything can happen in an instant and our entire society can be turned upside down. So who do we trust in? We trust in God. And certainly prayer is a key component to that. Having the proper attitude, making sure we're selfless, not selfish. Looking at whatever weaknesses that we may have in our lives. Controlling our tongues, controlling our thoughts. But this requires having a sincere heart-to-heart with ourselves. Taking a look at God's word, using it as the standard to say, where can I be better? Where can I improve? But that goes back to spending time in God's word. And the final thought for you this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16, as Paul writes to the saints, he reminds them regarding these trials that we face. I mean, of course, in context, he's pointing out persecution certainly is a key component of the trials that he's talking about. But he says in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The truth of the matter is that this isn't just pertaining to persecution. And it's really not even necessarily even just trials of life. The fact of the matter is, kind of like Keith reminds us quite often, every day is a day closer to death or a day closer to judgment. And when Paul makes a statement, even though our outward man is perishing, guess what? Our outward man is perishing every day. We're getting a day closer. That being the case, our inward man is to be renewed day by day. How does that happen? Guess what? That goes back to spending time in God's word. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Having the proper perspective, maintaining recognition of our goal, which is heaven. It's hard to do, especially in the day-to-day. We have stuff going on, work, school, families. But this stuff, in the end, this is temporary. And our goal has to continue to be heaven, because this world is not our home. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, Paul writes to the saints, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Does this mean physically? Is Paul saying that all things work together for good? That means everybody's going to have a pleasant life There's not going to be any major problems. Everybody's going to have all the money they need, all the food they need, and so forth. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's describing the spiritual state. All things work together for good to those who love God, even if for now it means suffering. Paul goes on at the latter end of Romans chapter 8 describing what can separate us from the love of Christ. Can famine or sickness or peril or sword? Those are all things that we can face in this world. And God does not guarantee us a pleasant life physically. He guarantees us peace and hope. That's what he guarantees us in Christ Jesus. A home in heaven that's waiting for us. Thus, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Because no matter what happens to us in this world, it's the next that we're focusing on. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 13, after Peter describes the scoffers, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where is the promise of his coming? He describes in verse 11 and 12 the fact that all these things are going to be burned up. So what manner of people should you be in all holiness and conduct? He goes on to say in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Why? Because in this one, righteousness doesn't dwell. God's standard, the idea of holiness, the idea of purity doesn't exist in this world. Because of man's choices. But there will be no sin in the next. There will be no temptation in the next. We look forward to the day where we can have that new heaven, that new home, where no sickness, no sorrow, no famine, where nothing can bother us. All this to say, that when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, he had determination. He was resolved. He had turned his face, he had turned resolutely to accomplish the goal that the Father had set forth for him. We have to do the same thing. We have to turn our face or steadfastly set our face resolutely to fulfill the will of the Father for us. And three ways in which we can do that. Not the only three ways, but three ways in which we can do that. Is spending time in God's Word. Making sure that we focus on fundamentals. Focus on what it means to be a Christian. And maintain perspective. Especially in a world where it's so easy to lose sight of what our goal is. Maintain the perspective that we need to have. All three of these are easier said than done. But you know what? All resolutions are. No matter what you put on your list for your New Year's resolutions, whether they're physical resolutions or spiritual ones, it's easier, far easier to say it or to write it down than it is to actually enact it. Why? Because enacting it takes work. Enacting it takes planning. It takes a pre-consideration of what I'm doing. But that's why it's so important that we actually have in our mind what I seek to get, what I seek to gain this year, for instance, as a Christian, how I seek to grow and what areas do I need to grow. The term resolution means a course of action determined or decided on, set in purpose. Jesus had done this with regard to going to Jerusalem, knowing what waited for him. God wants us to do the same, having our face set towards heaven. Knowing what it's going to take to get us there, let's make sure we do what it takes to get there. The lesson is yours this morning. I hope that's something beneficial and edifying for us. As we consider this new year coming up, let's make it a better 2021 than 2020 was. Not because of anything that happened. Not because of COVID or anything else, but let's make it a better year because we have grown more from where we were to start 2020. or to end 2020. Let's be able to say, let's be able to look back at the end of 2021 and say, I've grown. I've grown as a Christian, I've grown as a servant of God, and I've grown as a servant of others. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, be added to the body of Christ. Those of us who are Christians, let's make sure we set our face to serve God always. And in these ways, we can do that, to please Him and to help our brethren and to help our neighbor. That's the lesson. If you're subject, come forward as we stand and sing.